Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about being redeemed. Redeemed from something. Being redeemed by someone. And being redeemed to something. Being redeemed means that there was something that we needed help with that we could not do for ourselves. We needed outside intervention. And last week we saw that we were redeemed from the enemy. That because of sin, Satan had a hold over the human race. And people without Jesus Christ, that they are held under that bondage. But Jesus came to set us free and to take us out. Job declared in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his confusion, he said, "My Redeemer lives." Now, you and I have a great advantage that we are able to read the first chapter of Job to discover who was hurting Job and who was helping Job. Job didn't have that advantage that we have. But even in what he did not know, he knew, "My Redeemer lives, and this can change." Galatians chapter 3 tells us, and today we want to look at being when we were redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What was it that he had over our life, and what were the after effects? And one of the things that the Bible says is that when we were under Satan's dominion, we were under his curse. We were under something called the curse of the law. And we want to discover what that is and the fact that we are free from its domination in our life. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." All right. Now, what was this saying? That under the law that came from God through Moses to the children of Israel, and so it's referred to as sometimes the law of Moses or the Mosaic law, but it really came from God. And what it was a covenant that God made with his people, with Israel. And he said, if you do these things, then I will do these things. And if you don't do these things, then you're going to be apart from my blessing, apart from my covenant. And all these other bad things are going to happen in your life because you've broken covenant with God. All right. And so the curse of the law was a curse of disobedience. And what we discover that the law, what Galatians tells us about the law was that the problem with the law was not the law, because it came from God, right? Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. So if it came from God, there was nothing wrong with the law. But the problem with the law was our flesh. It was our inability to keep it. And that's why it says here that no one was ever justified or made righteous, declared okay by God through law keeping, through keeping the Mosaic law. Romans 3 puts it this way, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Okay, God's expectations. And so then because of that, because of our disobedience, again, because of sin, and not just our sin nature, but our sinful activities, then the curse of the law had the right to be on our life. Somebody, and it's a big argument, and it's bigger and bigger by the day, among Christian circles and even now among evangelicals, that hell doesn't exist, that it's not real, it's just too harsh, it's too hot, it's too forever. Certainly God, that he couldn't just do, he's too nice to ever do that, all right? And so people ask this question, and they say, well, how could a loving God send, you know, someone to hell, you know, someone that he loves? And I like what a Presbyterian minister said. And he said, that's really the wrong question. The real question is, how could a just God allow sinners to go to heaven? That's the real question. We are without hope. The curse has a right to be on our life because of sin. And so we needed a redeemer. We needed someone to get us out of that. But before we look at the good news, let's look a little bit more about the bad news, all right? To see what was the curse, what was pronounced over the children of Israel by disobedience through breaking the covenant. And the Bible says that that applies to those who are now disobedient today. All right. Go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Now, what has happened is that God has given the law to the children of Israel. And there was many details about how to conduct yourself with people and with God, the sacrificial system, things like washing and hygiene. There were different laws that were given. And then to summarize them, he said, all right, if you follow this, you're going to be really blessed. All right. But if you don't, you are really not. It is not going to be okay with you. But let's look at the condition here in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. It says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments. Everybody say all. All right, now tell your neighbor, we're in trouble. Because here's the thing. Many of you, when as you've grown up, and maybe some of you who are students today, you know, 90% on an exam is reason for celebration, right? For some, it's reason for public dancing and revelry, all right? But what it means is you don't really have to get everything right to be okay. In fact, some places, you know, you can get 60% and have a passing grade or whatever it is. You're still going to be able to go through, all right? I always wonder about, you know, if you're going to be, if a surgeon is going to cut you open and they got 4 out of 10 answers wrong on the surgery exam. Anyway, that's just a thought. All right. I want the guy that got 99% right. Okay. But the law, and for in order for God's blessings to come upon you, 90% was not enough. 95% was not enough. 99% was not commendable. It was a failure. The only passing grade was all. If you hear his voice and you do all of his commands that I've commanded you this day, then the blessings will come. And so under the law, you did not have a right to the blessings because you were disobedient. So that's why God made a better system through Jesus Christ. Now, go over to, and there were a number of aspects to the disobedience and what would come upon your life. All right. And really the biggest one for anyone was to be separated from God, not to have a relationship with him. All right. And David put it this way, you know, who will ascend God's holy hill? Who will come near God? Only those with clean hands. All right. Only those who have done right can come near God. Okay. And we saw throughout the Old Testament, there was that separation between God and man. And so if that was the only curse, that would be quite a curse to not be able to be near the God who loved you because of sin. But there were more things that would come upon your life. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. This is what Paul was referring to in Galatians 3 as the curse of the law, or the curse pronounced by the law, another translation says. So this is exactly what he's referring to. These are the ramifications of not obeying what God had said to do. All right? And there were categories of what would happen. One of them was physical sickness, disease. All right? And they list some of those conditions. Deuteronomy 28, 21. It says, "The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish." Verse 27 says, "The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt." Another translation says, "the botch of Egypt." Boils or botch, it can't be good, all right? "With tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart." So there was a list of different diseases, all right, that some of these are still in effect today. Verse 60, it says, "The Lord, moreover, the Lord will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed." So that curse had a right to be on people because of sin. There was another part of the curse that's listed in verse 16. It was a financial curse. It was an economic curse. All right? So not only do you have boils and botch, but you're not going to be able to pay your bills. Deuteronomy 28, 16 says, "Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country." What does that mean? Relocation was not going to help you. Well, let me just move out to the farm. Well, let me come into the city to find a job. It didn't matter. "Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." That was kind of your daily stuff. "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks." That was your business. Verse 19, "Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." Verse 29, "You shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you." Verse 38, "You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall not drink of the wine nor of the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they will go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land." Why? Because of sin, because of disobedience. The blessing of the Lord could not come upon people because they had broken covenant with God. There was also many, many scriptures that were listed for Israel as a nation, that there would be defeat on the battlefield that was listed in Deuteronomy 28. All right? And so that as they would go out to fight, they would be defeated. And then if this wasn't bad enough, and obviously because these things were happening, one of the results, the side effects, would be fear. Deuteronomy 28, 66. "Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night. You will have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Oh, that it were evening.' And in the evening you shall say, 'Oh, that it were morning.' Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see." Can you hear that there's basically no escape? Everywhere you go, no matter what you do, things are not going right virtually everywhere you look. In your own personal body, in your business, in your the way to sustain yourself and your family. And that curse, the Bible says, was the curse that was pronounced by the law upon guilty people. People that were guilty before God. All right? So, we could not free ourselves from the curse. We could not be good enough for God. We could not make it up to Him. We could not negotiate with Him. And see, that's one of the things about when God works with man, what He decides is He's the one that writes the contract. All right. If you've ever, you know, bought a piece of land or if you've done anything, there's some negotiation, right? Well, no, I think we need to move that. And so when it's all done, then boom, it's signed, it's stamped, it's done. But we don't ever see in the Bible where man is negotiating with God. Well, God, you know, you said all, but you know, we've kind of gathered a group here together and we just demand that is unfair. I mean, you've got fair, you know, God practices, and we demand better, you know, power to the people kind of a thing. No, that God doesn't do it that way. All right. It's His word. It's His law. And it's take it or leave it. All right. And so Israel was never able to fulfill the law. And so that's why most of their history, they were really, really messed up. And they were running after Baal, and they were held captive, and most of the prophets that came were prophesying into a really bad situation. All right? So now, into this scene, into this hurt and this darkness, comes Jesus Christ. All right? Turn back to Galatians 3. All right? Remember Galatians 3, it says that under those under the works of the law are under a curse, because the curse declares you're not good enough. The curse declares you don't have a right to the blessings of God. The curse declares you have no standing with God. And it was true. All right? Now, we're talking about redemption. We're talking about having a redeemer. Galatians 3, if we keep reading. So we're under this curse. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. All right? So Christ has purchased us. He has redeemed us back from under that curse. So when Satan's hand came off of our life, we saw that last week, right? He has no hold on us. When he left our life, the curse left. The curse of what? The curse of the law. All those things that were decreed no longer apply to your life because of Jesus Christ. Not because of you. Not because of strong prayers. Not because Pastor Walker broke the power. Jesus broke the power. Jesus, the high priest. Jesus, the mediator between God and man. The one who took our place. So He redeemed us. He rescued us from the curse of the law. Now, how did He do it? He became a curse for us. So the curse came upon us because of disobedience. So when Jesus went to the cross, He became sin. He became your disobedience. And the Bible says, and not only you, but the whole world, the sins of the whole world, all the disobedience of the world, all the not measuring up to God was put on Jesus. He became the curse. God's justice was satisfied, and something changed in our life. You see, the right that the curse had on your life no longer applies to you. The right that it had because of disobedience. All right. Now, how many of you in the New Testament, we are called to a life of obedience. Amen. We are called to a life of sanctification and holiness and love. Amen. And so that is a lifestyle of the believer. But that lifestyle that we have is not what causes us to be free from the curse. It's just the way we live now. Amen. When we're talking to God and saying, hey, God, you know what? This things are not okay. This is not your will in our life. It's not what we're going to do to make a list to say, okay, God, you know what? You know, I've been going to church a lot. You know, I heard Pastor Walker talk about the tithe and I tried it and it's kind of hard, but I've been doing it for 6 months now. So you really ought to do some great things for me. And I've been better than most people. And you know I'm the best one in my family. And so we start kind of listing all these reasons to God of why the curse should be gone and the blessing should be there. That's Old Testament thinking. The blessings no longer come because of that. They come because of Jesus. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And now there is a lifestyle for the redeemed. And we will be talking about that later, all right? But the fact that it is gone is the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Now, what is it replaced with? So the curse is lifted. The curse is broken. It is severed in our life. Amen? I don't know if you've ever been to a meeting where they say, you know, we're going to sever some curses of your life. We're going to cut the curses. That's called salvation. All the curses were cut by Jesus. Amen? All of them. All of them. All right? Now, what is it replaced with? Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Through believing. All right, now, what is the blessing of Abraham? Notice it's blessing, singular. All right? Now, there are times where it talks about the blessings, plural, of Abraham, but this is called the blessing of Abraham. All right? And if you look at Galatians in context, the blessing of Abraham that it's referring to is being justified by faith alone. It is being declared righteous by faith. You see, Abraham was declared righteous by God before the law, showing that God can do this. He can declare someone righteous based on what they believe. And we are the children of Abraham who are now, because of Jesus, declared righteous. We are declared not guilty in God's eyes. And that now is the doorway to all the other blessings. Amen? Because now in Christ, we're good enough. Now in Christ, we are clean. We are holy. We are separated. Amen? And so that gives us the right to come to God. All right? So we are declared righteous by faith apart from the law. And this happens through faith. Our faith in what Jesus did. Not in what we did. Not in what someone else does. But what Jesus did. All right? Now, this redemption, the fact that this curse is lifted, what are you and I redeemed from? All right, so if the curse of the law is no longer a part of our life, what are you and I redeemed from? Number one, we're redeemed from spiritual death. That is separation from God. You remember when God told Adam and Eve, he said, on the day that you eat of the fruit, the day that you eat it, you will die. Remember that? And they ate it, and physically they were still alive, right? Well, did they die? Yes, they died. Jesus, God said, the day that you eat it. Where did they die? They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, and when he became sin, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was that? You remember when Jesus was in the garden and when he was crying out to God before his death, he said, Father, if you are able to, let this cup be removed from me. Jesus drank a cup and he drank it all the way. And that cup was separation from his Father at the cross. When he cried out because of sin, God judged Jesus Christ as a sinner. And it was righteous. And it was what God had pre-planned to do. And so Hebrews says that Jesus tasted death for every man. He tasted death. Why? So you and I don't have to taste it. We don't have to taste it. And so physical death for the believer is just a journey. It's just stepping out of your body into a whole new, better world. And so that's why the Bible tells us, for in Christ as believers, we don't grieve as the world grieves. Because when and one who dies in Christ, for them, it is far better. And so we will never, ever, ever have to be separated from God. Amen? Why? Jesus tasted death for every man. So we are redeemed from spiritual death. Number two, according to Deuteronomy 28, you and I are redeemed from sickness. You and I are redeemed from sickness. From the boils of Egypt, right? From all the things that are listed. But verse 60 says, and every other disease not listed. So if there is a disease that tries to attach itself to your body, according to the Bible, disease, listen, I am redeemed from you. Jesus broke your power in my life. And when he did his work, it was accomplished and it was finished. And Isaiah 53 and the works of Jesus, and throughout the New Testament, we see that sin, redemption from sin, is tied in to redemption from physical sickness. Amen. Jesus, well, God declared about himself, I am the Lord who heals you. Please don't turn the I am into an I was. Don't turn I am into I used to. Or I was until the apostles died, and now we've got medical doctors and hospitals. No, 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 no. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Wonderful song that we, when I went to Oral Roberts University, that Oral Roberts would sing at his crusades, and it was, he is a healing Jesus. He's still a healing Jesus. And friend, thank God for the different ways that God heals according to the scriptures. Gifts of the Spirit, the anointing oil, different things, ways that God does. But friend, you can be healed in your bedroom. Amen? And if there is something that tries to come upon your body, you just declare, I am free from sickness and disease in Jesus' name. He became a curse for me. And sickness has no right to attach itself to my body. It has no right, it has no place in the redeemed, in the children of God. Amen? And lastly, we see from those scriptures, we are redeemed from the curse of economic lack. The curse of planting seeds and things not growing. The curse of trying and working and things not going well. Now, that is not the only thing that the Bible speaks of when it comes to our economics, all right? Proverbs has much to say about how we use our money and how we plan with our money and all those things we need to incorporate into our life and our lifestyle, amen? And so there's the Bible has much to say about our financial life, but at the foundation of it is the fact that because of what Jesus did for us, the curse of the law, the curse of all those things going wrong economically, that's broken over your life. It's broken. It doesn't have to be rebroken. Amen? You know, come to this seminar and we're going to break poverty over your life. Well, thank you. You can just, you can learn some things. Go to seminars that they're going to teach you how to spend your money. Find wisdom. But you know, it's really a waste of time for somebody to re-break it. Again, that Jesus broke it halfway, and then he left it up for the apostles and the prophets to break it all the way. But through an offering, of course, right? That's really how it gets mega broken and permanently broken. No. It's not New Testament. It's not New Testament. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. So if it's in the curse of the law, if it was declared as a curse, it's no longer a curse today. Why? Because of his blood, because of his redemption. Now, are there other curses? Are there other curses that we have to worry about? In reading the New Testament, we don't see other curses. We don't see the curse of your grandfather. We don't see the curse of having grown up in a certain town that's very oppressive and where bad things happened. We just don't see that. When Paul went to Ephesus, and when Paul went to Corinth, and Paul went to all these very wicked places that were full of the occult and full of sin, and He preached the word. He told them who Jesus was. He told them who they were in Christ and that they could come out of all of that. And they did. Amen. So you don't have to worry about other curses. What would they be? Where would they come from? All right. There is no spiritual right that Satan has to your life. No right. Now, what we do see from the New Testament is that our lifestyle has implications. In a sense, those that sow to the Spirit are going to reap life everlasting. Those that sow to the flesh are going to reap destruction. All right? So if you are operating in sin and operating in disobedience, it's not that the curse now has a right to be in your life. It's that you are now planting the wrong seeds for your future. All right? And so we understand that and we've seen that. All right? But there is a blessing that comes upon us through Jesus Christ. And He alone is our access to the blessings of God, to redemption, and everything that is incorporated in that redemption. All right? So you and I must now see our life from a different situation, from a different vantage point. A few months ago, I think it was in March, Haley, when we went to Vic Falls, right? Went to Vic Falls, and we both, my wife and I were able to, separately, we were able to go on, what is it called? Microlite. It's basically a hang glider with a lawnmower engine on the back. And you go up on the falls, and it's pretty scary. All right, you sit in a black chair like this with a seat belt. And anyway, you're flying it, and let me tell you, things look different from up there. Victoria Falls, I've seen them many, many, many times, but when you're, you know, that high above them, completely different. Hippos look different when you're looking down on them. They look very, very interesting when you're looking down into the river and you see hippos. Never seen them that way before. Elephants. All the different scenery that we were flying around. Now, it was awesome. We were flying around with a guy who's a Spirit-filled Christian. And he was just preaching to us the whole time. Amen. Getting the fear off of me. Glad he was preaching, all right? Jesus, pray for me. But the perspective of being above makes you see things in an entirely different way. And you and I, as believers, turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You see, we should have a perspective in life that is different than just someone who doesn't know God. They see the future and they try to plan things out, and there may be fear and there may be apprehension. But you and I get to see things from God's perspective. Why? Because that's where we are. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what's the together part? The together part is you and me. Everybody gets to sit together. But who are we sitting together with? With Jesus. When God raised Jesus up to sit at his own right hand, we were raised together with him. Amen. And so we're not necessarily sitting beside Jesus, we're seated in Jesus. And so that's why the Bible says, as he is in this world, so are we. Why? Because he's in us and we're in him. Now, so we are seated together with Christ. Now, where's Christ? And where is our enemy? And where are the curses? Just turn back. Some of you don't have to change pages. Ephesians 1:20, the end of the first chapter of Ephesians. Talking about God's power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, Jesus, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. So where is Jesus seated? Far above. Now, when I went to Vic Falls, I wasn't far above. I was a little bit above. I didn't have to wear an oxygen mask or anything. But imagine if you are in a spaceship and you're orbiting the earth. Now, that's far above, looking down on things. So Jesus is seated far above every power, every principality, every might and dominion, and every name that is named. Jesus is far above. Well, good for Jesus, right? No, good for you. Because where are you and I? We are with him. So where is every might? Where is every dominion? Where is every power according to where you and I are seated? We are far above. They are far below. Say this with me. Say, sickness is under my feet. Poverty is under my feet. Fear is under my feet. I am far above that stuff. I am seated with Christ. I know where he is. I know where I am. I look down on problems with Jesus. The curse is broken. It's never coming back. I am free in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me encourage you. Just enjoy your view. Enjoy where you are. And take that place with Jesus. Amen. Allow those things to be under your feet. And now you, not by your power and might, but you and I have been, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have been given the name of Jesus. It has been given to the church. And so now in that name, the Bible says that we cast out demons. We heal the sick. Amen. In that name which is high above. Use that name in your life. Amen. And so when these things try to come into your world where you are with Jesus, and here's the thing, you don't have to be real crazy about it. It doesn't have to take 5 days. Just say, in the name of Jesus. No, no, no. You have no right. You have no authority. Sickness, you have no right to be in my life. Oh, but Pastor, I think that sickness has a right because of my grandmother. No, 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 no. Whatever came from through your grandmother, it doesn't affect you anymore. Now, you might have your grandmother's eyes. You may have your grandmother's ears. Amen? That's fine. But you're redeemed from your grandmother's sin. Hallelujah. Because it was severed at the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I know I've made some people upset, and there's some people that want my job, and I'm afraid maybe they've put curses on my life. And I know there are people that do that, and there are people that are involved in that kind of nonsense. But do you remember in the Old Testament when there was a king, Israel and Joshua were coming through, and they were making a wide path on the way to Canaan's land. And this king said, if God is with them, we are in trouble. So he said, let me hire a prophet. All right. And I'm going to have this prophet. Balak was the king and Balaam was the prophet. And he said, I'm going to hire him to curse Israel. And so Balaam tried 3 times to curse Israel. He just couldn't work it up until finally he then by the Spirit of God said, how can I curse what God has blessed? You are blessed in Jesus. And those people will find, how can you curse what God has blessed? You are blessed in Christ. Amen. That means curses don't stick to you. Not the curse of the law or the curse of your weird neighbor or the curse of your workmate or the curse of the girlfriend or what. I don't know what curse it is. They don't stick to believers. They don't stick to the name of Jesus. They don't go up to heavenly places. Curses don't go where you are. Curses don't go where you are seated in Christ. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. No. Very respectfully, you don't know. This is all Bible. This is all Jesus. We are redeemed. Amen? Amen, amen. Stand to your feet with me right now. Stand to your feet right now. Some of you need to make a declaration today. Maybe someone has lied to you. Maybe you've heard lies. And you've been living under that fear that it's talking about because of all the stuff that's going all around. You'll see it and then it'll cause you to be fear. You need to declare what Jesus Christ has done for your life today. Close your eyes with me and make this declaration. Say, Father, I belong to you. I am your child. I am redeemed. And in my family, there's not a curse. There's not a curse of divorce. There's not a curse of sickness. There is no curse of poverty. There's no witchcraft. There's no bondage. There's no barrenness. There's no confusion. Not in my family. Not in the family of God. I am redeemed. I am the blessed. I am in Christ. And I am seated with Him. And I look down at those other powers, down at those other dominions. I'm seated with Christ. And I know where I am. And I know where these other things are. And I declare right now, sickness, I'm redeemed from you in Jesus' name. Poverty, you have no right to be in my life. In Jesus' name, I am free. I am adopted. I am redeemed. Now just lift up your hands and praise God right now. Oh, just thank Him right now. Thank Him right now. Oh, friends, take this rejoicing into your house. Take this rejoicing into your place of business. Oh, this is what God has done for you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't even ask for it, but He did it for you in Christ. In Christ, we stand in Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We rejoice today. We rejoice in you, for we are the redeemed. We are free, and we will say so. We will say so. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you today. We love you today. We love you today. Thank you, Father. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as our Redeemer. The whole Bible points to Him. It speaks of His blood. It speaks of His love. And it speaks what He did for you at the cross to take you out of the bondage that this world and sin and Satan had put you under. You have the opportunity to be free. Now, what the Bible says is that this redemption is a gift. It's a gift that is available to you. But as we read, that the promise of the Holy Spirit comes to those through faith. That's your part. Jesus did all the other part. Now, we must believe. We must trust Him that He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. And now we follow Him and Him alone for the rest of our life. And so today, if you've never received that gift, if you've never received this redemption, you can. It's free. It's available to you. And it affects you in this life, and it affects you on the other side of death. There's a real place called heaven. There's a real place called hell. You don't have to go to hell. It's your choice today. Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Will you trust Him with all your heart? And will you follow Him for the rest of your days? If you've come to this place and you say, Pastor Walker, I know I've not done that. Maybe you've tried to be religious. Maybe you've tried to be good enough. Or maybe you've just, in a sense, because of guilt, you've tried to run away from God. Friend, come home to God today. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian and you know that you need restoration and forgiveness. Today is your day. Today is your opportunity to know Him and to come home to a Father who loves you. And today, if you say, Pastor, I need to make that decision. I would like to pray with you. I'd like to look you in the eyes, and I'd like to be there with you and to lead you in a prayer that will open up the door of your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you and you say, that's me, I'm going to do that today. Right now, all across this auditorium, right now, just lift up your hand. You say, Pastor, that's me. Lift it up real, real high. I don't want to miss anybody. God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. There in the back. Yes, sir. God bless you over here, ma'am. Yes. Who else? Who else? It's time to leave that old place. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Everyone that lifted up your hand, if you could give me your attention, I would like you to leave where you are standing right now and come and meet me up front. What you're saying is, I'm leaving that old place of my life. I'm making a move for Jesus. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to live with Him. Just come right now. I'll meet you. I'll meet you. Just come. Of you that have come forward, that you've said, this is my day. You're leaving somewhere, aren't you? And you're entering into a brand new place with God. Now, this happens not, I don't make this happen for you. No one else can do this but Jesus and Jesus alone. All right, and so right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to lead you in a prayer, all right, that comes from the Bible and from your heart. Are you ready? All right, would you close your eyes with me? Just close your eyes and lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because we're talking to God. And say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died for me. He took my sin and was punished in my place. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come into my life. I leave my old life. I leave the sin. And I follow Jesus now with all that is within me. And I thank You, Father, that I am now in Your family. I belong to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We are so happy.